Culture Rich Conversations on Juno Afternoon is sponsored in part by Mark Stofa and Sarah Hannon of the Alaska Wild Salmon Company, delivering fresh salmon to Juno homes since 2006. Learn more at goodsalmon.com or 907-321-4997.
You're listening to Culture Rich. Culture Rich.
Welcome to Culture Rich Conversations. I'm your host, Christina Michelle, and today's show is a collaboration between the Black Awareness Association of Juneau and KTOO. I am so excited for today's show and our special guest, and we are having a crypto conversation with Joseph Robinson, entrepreneur, philanthropist, Army veteran, and self-taught crypto investor. So why are Black Americans drawn to the crypto world? That's just one of the questions that we're going to explore the answers to. Studies show that the LGBTQ and Black Americans are leading the cryptocurrency revolution. And in today's conversation with Joseph, we are going to sit down and talk about some of the risks and rewards of digital currency and why it appeals to Blacks and other historically marginalized groups. Welcome, Joseph.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Appreciate the invite here.
We're so excited to have you. And Joseph is joining us via Zoom from Atlanta, Georgia. But Joseph, you are an Alaska native, correct?
Absolutely. Born and raised Providence Hospital. Yeah. In the cold.
In the cold. Well, we're happy that you are here with us today. So can you just tell us a little bit about what cryptocurrency is for those who are not familiar? And then I'm excited to get into like your journey with crypto, some of your successes. Want to talk about, you know, some of the pitfalls and just really unpack this, because it really is a dynamic topic and it is one that is trending in the Black American community. So can't wait to hear some of your insights on this.
Absolutely. Cryptocurrency has been out for quite a long time. I don't know if you guys can hear that, but I hear a little feedback. But it's been out for quite a long time now, as early as 2010. If you don't believe that, you can look it up. Bitcoin was the first digital currency to be released. And right now you probably see it trading at, you know, $65,000, $67,000. Well, at one point right now it's at $40,000. But 10 to 12 years ago it was $50. So this technology has been around for a while now, and it's starting to grow. And so that's why I am now trying to get the word out everywhere I can to teach people about cryptocurrency and how they can increase their financial wealth.
So how would you define cryptocurrency to someone who has never heard of it before?
The definition, I don't have the textbook definition for it, but the way that I would define it is, think of it as a digital way of being able to pay for something. For instance, with Bitcoin, okay, you can, the Dallas Mavericks, I don't know if I'm able to mention their names there, but as an example, the head team owner pays some of his players in Bitcoin. They've accepted their salary in Bitcoin. So it's a way of being able to transfer your wealth, your money around, buy things, purchase assets with, a gift your families with, things of that nature. People are using it as income. This is a new way. Some people call it the new money, the digital gold. And in terms of where it's going, absolutely. Will it replace the dollar one day? I don't know. I don't want to speculate that. But if you look back, you know, where we've come from, how we were trading our money in stocks, you know, the original stocks with animals and tools and things of that nature, trading. Now here we are today, from our normal monetary system to now a digital system that is trackable. You know, every transaction is trackable, just like your your transactions in your bank, but that's private to between yourself and the bank. But these transactions for digital currency, are you're able to see that on what they call is a ledger, just like the ledger in your bank or your checking account or when you're keeping track of your money. So absolutely, that's one way to describe it. It's a digital payment system. One way.
Okay. And how can an investor trust that what they have purchased is actually valid, that it has any value?
You know, that's one of the things that's still a mystery, right? Because you think in terms of what is something that's, what's digital? What's digital? You know, for instance, you take your Visa debit card, you take your checking card, your checking account card, and with the hopes of, you know, you have money in there. Sometimes people overdraw a lot. They overdraw their accounts. But, you know, you take that card, which at some point you go to the store, you push that chip into a machine, which reads the machine, the card digitally, right? Do X's and O's and numbers and things of that nature. And then it pulls the money out of your account. That's all digital. It talks to a system, a computer somewhere. It's all digital. So that we trust that. Why? Because it's in our account. Now, here's the thing with digital currency. Digital currency is stored on what they call as a wallet, a hardware wallet or cold wallet. Okay. So I can take, for instance, I can take digital currency that I've purchased, right, for as an investment, what have you. I can take that, put it into a wallet, right? And I can transfer it to a centralized exchange, and I can use that with a card through, let's say, for instance, Coinbase. Coinbase gives you a card where you can actually process it, all right? And you can utilize it for store of goods. So the trust factor is that you can actually see the amount that you have. It's there. It may not be tangible in terms of you can grab it like cash until you convert the Bitcoin or whatever it is to fiat or US dollar. That's tangible. But all this is made up of X's and O's. And so, you know, that's the trust factor, right? Just like putting your money into the bank. It's a trust factor that when you go to the bank account, your money's going to be there.
I see. So how did you get started with cryptocurrency investing?
Great question. I'm gonna give you the short version. Okay.
Okay.
So 2017, basically, it wasn't the first time I heard of Bitcoin, but it had been the first time that I actually invested into Bitcoin. It was 2017. I bought four for roughly about $800 or so. And of course, I wasn't educated on what a hardware wallet is, cold wallet. What those things were, you know, ledger, the blockchain, didn't understand what those things were. So I got scammed. I ended up sending my Bitcoin to someone, right? And it was through a wallet and I couldn't get it back. He didn't want to give it back. He told me he's going to invest it. He didn't want to give it back. So that pushed me to want to find out what exactly is a blockchain. What is Bitcoin? What does it do? What's it used for? I was just buying it because people told me, hey, it's going to make you some money, guy. It's going to bring you in some income. Right. And so, you know, in terms of that, I said, you know what? I want to dig in. Just like I dug into stocks. I've been a stock investor for 15, 16 years. And so I wanted to dig into this crypto, you know. And so that's what I did. From that point, I started to see the results of what it can do as far as, you know, store usage, utility, use case. Not every crypto that's out there, a token, is an actual currency. Bitcoin is a currency. Ethereum can be used as a currency and utility. You can use Ethereum to buy other projects with. Bitcoin, you cannot. That's the digital gold, the digital dollar there. But there are thousands of other projects, tokens, that are actually usable. You can use it as for instance, you can monetize your business, the radio station there, to accept Bitcoin, Ethereum, things of that nature. So some of them have dual purposes.
Okay. Well, I am so glad. I mean, I'm sorry that you got scammed, but I'm happy that you are you're being transparent about that, because something that I think a lot of people have concerns about when it comes to cryptocurrency is how volatile the market is and about getting scammed and losing money. And, you know, we've heard these glamorous stories about overnight millionaire successes. And then we've heard about people losing, you know, hundreds of thousands or even more dollars. So can you tell us a little bit about maybe the downside of investing with cryptocurrency?
Absolutely. So, again, one of the downsides is that there are a lot of projects that are started and they're scams. A lot of them, right? Just like when Bitcoin came out, people thought, you know, years ago, people thought, hey, this is only for money laundering, you know, buying drugs and things of that nature. It had a bad rap, but you know, over the years, as you can see now, it's grown to has a really good use case. You can use it now all over the world. But in terms of what can happen, let's say, for instance, and I've been involved in a few projects that have actually been scams. And you think that they're going to actually, you know, survive the market. But in terms of what they're trying to do, they're intentionally trying to scam you. So, for instance, person A comes out with a project. They say they're going to do this, they're going to do that, they're going to provide this for you. You buy into the project with your money, what have you. They build up enough income or enough money in that project. And then all of a sudden, boom, what they call is rug pull. They've taken all of the money out of the project and then they disappear. That's one of the downsides to investing is that the person on the other side of that project, you may not know who they are. They're not all the projects reveal themselves, which we call doxing in the cryptocurrency world. They may not reveal themselves to their investors. And so a lot of times when they don't do that, it's a scam. And I know a lot of people, they want to make money in the market. They want to be able to, you know, invest in things of this nature. And sometimes a lot of people will continue to do that, not knowing who the developers are. And sometimes they will present themselves and still scam you. So, you know, it's a very, very volatile, very high risk. So the ones that I'm involved in, that I'm investing in, they're really high risk, which has been, you know, the pivotal point for me being able to see a high return, but it's risky. And so I don't recommend that to anyone. If you're not a high risk player, do not get involved in projects that don't have a potential growth. You know, you really have to do your investigation on that. You have to really dive into who are these individuals that's creating these products, these assets that are out there. And just to give you another insight, Bitcoin, we still don't know who created Bitcoin. We have an idea, but we don't know. So, but it's successful. So it's a gamble. It really is. It's a gamble.
How long did it take for you to see success in your investing journey with crypto?
Roughly, I want to say roughly about a year, a really, really good year. My first project that I invested in, like I said, Bitcoin, but then after I got scammed, I lost that money, what have you. The next project, I don't know if you guys heard about Dogecoin. Dogecoin became really popular, but Dogecoin had been around for a while, but no one heard about it. If you ask the average person out there about cryptocurrency, guess what they'll say? Hey guy, have you heard about cryptocurrency? Nah, man, I haven't heard about all that stuff. Well, I have heard of Bitcoin. That's all I know about. But guess what? There's hundreds of thousands of other projects that are out there. So I knew about Bitcoin and then I heard about Dogecoin. Why? Because it was talked about everywhere. So I decided to open up a Robinhood account and I bought some Dogecoin and I bought it when it was cheaper. Right now, I think it's at 11 to 15 cents. Well, when I bought it was under a penny, right? It hadn't even reached a penny. It was 0.001 or 0.0002 or something like that. So I bought a bunch of it. I think maybe about 500,000 coins, which roughly cost me maybe $1,500. And so, you know, 4 to 5 months when it started gaining more traction, I think the guru, Elon Musk, Tesla creator, investor, what have you, he mentioned Dogecoin, and guess what? It took off. It became famous. So that project, that token went from 0.0001 or whatever it was under a penny to 70 cents, right? But my thing was, I got some profit out. I sold at, I think, about 3 cents or so. So I came out about maybe 20 grand from that $1,500 investment. Okay. But it kept going. So had I held to 70 cents, well, you know, that would have been close to $750,000 that I could actually liquidate and take out of my account. It would have taken me some time, maybe a couple of days because of the market, what have you. But that means that project was, that some people were pouring in money, buying it, all the way up to 70 cents, what have you. Billions of dollars were going into it. And then think about all the people who bought even before I did back in 2020. These people who had been in for a long time. So when they cashed out, they had millions of tokens that they were able to acquire for quite a long time. So when it hit that 70 cents, 10 cents, 20 cents, 30 cents, whatever, 70 cents, guess what? They became overnight millionaires, billionaires, just like that. And this is what you can see every single day. So that was kind of the start of me getting more into cryptocurrency and realizing that, hey, I can do something. I can do something here and I can share this information, what I'm learning. I can go and teach people how to do this and what to look for. So that was the start. So roughly about a year.
Wow. That's not a very long time.
No, it's not. And I was, you know, I'm not going to disclose, in terms of full value, but like I said, I was able to turn a small amount over a period of time. So I would say, just to give a rough estimate, you know, started out with $1,500 has now grown to over 1.5 million.
That's incredible.
In cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
In terms of cryptocurrency value and store value, tangible assets, okay, over that amount. And so this is something that can happen on a regular basis, but you have to dig in. You have to do your research. A lot of people think they can just jump in and do it and they end up getting scammed or the project just dies out. And so I spend a lot of time, hours and hours researching, looking for the next project. Looking for, you know, great projects, what are these products going to do for the future, change, right? And so it's available to all of us. We just have to look for it.
So what would you say to somebody who wants to get started with cryptocurrency and they're looking for that kind of like in and out, get rich quick thing? I mean, because it sounds like it's possible. But would you suggest that they try other forms of investing, or would you say that crypto would still be a good thing to look into?
First off, none of this is financial advice. I always have to give that disclosure because, hey, guy, you told me to put my money in Dogecoin, Bitcoin, Satan, or whatever. No, I didn't tell you that. But so it's not financial advice. I always suggest people do their research. Every time, always, even if it's just looking up what it is. Okay. So in terms of, you know, I lost your question. Can you give it to me one more time?
Okay. So basically, for people who hear stories similar to yours and other people who have, you know, gotten in, you know, maybe $1,500 or less in, and then they were able to turn that into a substantial amount, hundreds of thousands, more than that. But they're looking to do something quick, like they want to turn a quick profit. Would you suggest that they look into crypto?
Absolutely right.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Yeah, it came back. It came back all of a sudden. So, you know, diversification is important because I'll answer what you asked, Bridget. So diversification is important. You know, stocks, mutual funds, cryptocurrency. All that is still relevant. You know, the stock market has grown over, you know, over the years. And companies have grown. I mean, Amazon started out in the garage. Jeff Bezos there. He started out in a garage and he turned maybe $100,000 company into over billions. I mean, his net worth is he can give everybody on the earth $1 billion and still be okay. Okay. That's his net worth. But, you know, started out in a garage. So in terms of value, that stock started out at a dollar or so, and now it's $3,000 per share. So you think in terms of, but that took years. That took, you know, 15, 20 years. I remember being 19 when I heard about Amazon and looking at the price of it. I was sitting behind my computer. But I didn't buy any. You know, like, I don't want no Amazon, but I'll, you know. So in terms of cryptocurrency, we are still early. We are still early in cryptocurrency. So I think that, you know, diversification is important. But if you're trying to reach your goals financially a lot quicker with a little bit of income, a little bit of money, that's the way to do it because it's so volatile. You know, you can put in, you know, $10 and next thing you know, it has grown to, you know, $500 or what have you. Down the road. So it is possible. Absolutely.
Okay. That answers my question. Thank you. And I wanted to see what your thoughts are on long-term investing too, because I mean, there's been some people, like you've taught me some things. I've gotten into cryptocurrency investing. And then because of what I've seen, I've shared with other people. And it seems like people get discouraged if their $10 doesn't turn to 500 overnight. You know, and they want to give it 2 weeks and then they want to cash out because nothing happened. So about how long would you say that somebody should expect to hold on to an investment before they decide that it's not going anywhere? And that might be a hard question to answer, but.
Well, it's kind of two part there, but no, that's fine. So the first part is, you know, in the cryptocurrency world, it is important to be patient, right? I've heard stories of one guy putting in, you know, $70, paid his fees or whatever on top of that into a coin called Shiba Inu, which is still doing pretty well. He put in, you know, $70. And in 186 days, he made, you know, $5.7 million. Okay. So, So I don't know if he was looking at that every single day, what his thoughts were, but I mean, $70, you know, you spend that at McDonald's in a week for your kids or a day.
Right.
Right. So you never put in more than that. You're not willing to lose. You know what I mean? So if I know this $70 needs to feed my kids next week, no, you know, you may not get that money back. That's the risk. You put that $70 and it could go to zero. But at the same time, 186 days to $5.7 million, what have you, you know, those are some extremes. But it is possible. All right. So the like I said, the risk level is relatively high. And so if you have a small amount and putting it into something that you would like to see growth in, and you are not a risky person at all, I would stick with something that's more stable in the cryptocurrency world, like Bitcoin, Ethereum, and things of that nature. Don't risk it. Don't get into risky projects, which can give you that 1,000x, you know, what have you. And you've seen it.
Yep.
You've seen it from, you know, what you've put in. And so but you've also seen the ups and downs on where a project can go to zero.
Yep, absolutely. You know,
as well. And, you know, you look at the time period that you got in up until now, what you had, what you've could have, you know, pulled out in terms of profit and now where it's at. And so it is a, you know, no risk, no reward, but also, you know, the greater the risk, the greater the reward, but the greater the pullback on your money is as well. So it's a 50-50 chance when you're looking at it. But like I said, when you're looking at projects, it's important to do your research. I'm on Twitter a lot because I'm digging in. I'm talking to people. I'm asking them about projects. I'm asking them what's happening with this project. Where are you going? What's the future of your project? Developers, what are they doing? They're constantly talking to their investors. You know, these things, this is what gives reassurance and gives us confidence that, okay, I believe in this product. So let me put a little bit more money in as it goes along. But, you know, you try not to, if I can give a little bit of advice, try not to get greedy when you're investing, because that is the downfall of people, period. If you get greedy and you're trying to, you know, gain too much, you can end up losing everything that you put in. So invest wisely.
Well, thank you, Joseph. We are going to just take a quick break on that note. And when we come back, I want to explore a little bit more about the world of crypto and how it has or is impacting the African-American culture and people of color.
Great.
All right. I'm looking forward to it. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Culture Rich Conversations. Today's show is a collaboration between KTOO and the Black Awareness Association of Juneau. If you're just joining us, my name is Christina Michelle, and I'm your host today, and I am sitting down for a conversation with Joseph Robinson, who is a crypto investor, and he has had quite a bit of success in this world of cryptocurrency. And he's just sharing with us some of the downfalls and some of the successes about investing in crypto. And now we're going to get into a little bit more about how cryptocurrency is impacting the African-American culture. So in my research, just preparing for today's conversation, I learned that Black Americans are actually leading in the cryptocurrency revolution. That was new information to me. And Joseph, I was wondering if you have any thoughts about why that is and how crypto has changed the landscape of financial success for people of color.
Absolutely. You know, if you think in terms of, you know, how far we've come as Black Americans, what have you, African Americans, you know, over the years, even since the 90s, the income, the median income of African Americans has grown, you know, from 90 to 2020 up to, well, actually to current, you know, the median income right now is about $45,000, you know, and that's of private households. Those statistics can be found on Statista.com. But, you know, looking at that, and that's just income. You know, whether it's working at a regular job, what have you, you know, it doesn't really give the breakdown. But if you look at in terms of where, you know, we are at in terms of poverty, we're kind of leading that for African Americans. You know, a recent study shows 19.5% for Black, African American, Hispanic goes 17%, and then everything else after that. So, you know, I think in terms of what we see that we can do as African Americans getting into and investing our money into the markets and cryptocurrency, it's a way to bring in extra income. Let's think about that single mother, that single father, you know, the family who are struggling, right? You know, maybe their educational level is lacking, or maybe, you know, they're trying to find resources and they can't find resources. It's they're having a hard time because of, you know, where they live, what have you, the culture, the background, you know, who knows? There's so many different variables. But one thing that doesn't have a color here is cryptocurrency. The face behind cryptocurrency is the blockchain. So I can take my dollar and put it into the market and turn it into whatever, you know, hypothetically. Okay. Yeah. I told you about my story. So, but the educational piece here is you have to learn how to do that. You have to step outside of your comfort zone. So if you hear the term, if you want better, you have to do better. All right. And so my thing is that we have to look at what has been holding us back for so long and figure out a way on how to advance and get better in this world. All right. It's not going to be handed to us. Nothing ever will. Nothing will ever be handed to us. We have to go out and we have to do it. And that's why I teach this for free. That's why I try to give this information out for free for empowerment, because everybody's charging. Not to say I would never charge for something. But I'm just saying now, right now, because I have the information that may not be available to the average person, you know, what is Bitcoin? What is this? What is that? How do I put my money in? Especially to, you know, in my opinion, to African Americans and where we're at. We're so busy trying to go after for what we need we can barely afford the things that we, well, some can barely afford the things that they want because they don't have the time to dig in on how to get what they need in order to get what they want, if that makes sense. And so, you know, especially if you have a big family, mom and dad is working 2-3 jobs. You're not getting paid as your counterpart here because of education or maybe because it could be race. I don't know, but those things are possible. And so with that in mind, we have to look at that. Okay, what else can I do? And so this is empowerment here. This is almost taking back our dollar again. And, you know, DeFi, decentralization, is different from centralization. So the two are separate because of the fact that DeFi, all right, and which is not regulated, okay, that empowers the people. We become the bank, right? We become the bank. So instead of you taking your money and putting it into the bank, you have your money in what they call a digital wallet on your phone. All right. So the empowerment piece is that now the leveling field is leveled across the board for every culture, black, white, Latino,
right,
across the board.
So that's really, It's interesting to think about because someone asked me about it recently, about why African Americans are so into cryptocurrency, and I didn't know that we were. But you know, the question was, is it because it levels the playing field? Is it because historically we're going into banks, and if we are denied for a loan or if we get a loan for a substantially lower amount than what we requested? There's always that question of, was it related to our race? And with crypto, like you said, it doesn't have a color. There's no face to it. It really is. There's the transparency there, and it makes it equal for everybody. And so, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something that is very, I think, is very empowering to our community.
Yeah, absolutely. I know a few developers who are African American, and they're creating products that African Americans, you know, can use, Latino can use, Caucasian can use, anyone can use these products. But the empowerment piece is that they're creating it for the culture. And so, just to give an example of what they do, it's called Crypto Vault, where you can actually go and to help us with saving. Right. Instead of spending your money on them Jordans and all that kind of stuff, you can actually take your money, put it in the crypto vault, create a savings bond or a crypto savings certificate, send it to your kids for college. Right. You can lock it up for 5 to 10 years, whatever the price of that particular asset, Bitcoin, whatever it is at that time. Kids can, you know, they can sell that and have money for college, have money for what they need for the household and things of that nature. And so, you know, that helps. I've talked to other cultures about, you know, how do they raise their households when it comes to providing? You know, I was talking to a lady in the gas station. She's from India. She says, you know, I don't kick my kids out at 18. I didn't kick my kids out at 18. I'm still raising them. I said, you're still raising your kids? You're grown kids? She says, yeah. She says, what I mean by raise is I allow them to establish themselves before they leave the nest versus me just pushing them out. And now they're having to struggle to find, you know, education and,
right,
and all these kind of things. And so I look at, you know, African Americans in our culture, like we, in my opinion, mommy, daddy, hey, when you get to 18, you getting out the house. I did it. I told my son, I said, boy, when you get 18, if you don't fly right, you getting out the house. Yeah, whatever, dad. Okay, well, 18 came around. He wasn't flying right. Well, he flew out the house. So, I think in terms of we have to look at, you know, culture is so different. And so in contrast, it is important that now we're looking at, okay, African Americans are looking at a way to be able to bring in, well, relatively is quick money.
Right.
Right. There's no boss. There's no boss telling me you can make this amount. You can make this amount. We're capping you. No, I can make unlimited potential income over a shorter period of time, and I have control. I'm the bank. So it's empowerment for all cultures, but particularly since we're on the subject, African Americans, yes.
Well, I'm excited about it, and I, even with my nephew, he's 14, I think. And he's already asking questions and wanting to get involved with cryptocurrency. And it's something that, you know, I'm excited to teach him what I know about it. And hopefully he'll take the ball and run with it. Because it really is about starting young and building legacy for our people and using these tools. And, you know, these are things that we didn't have available to us when I was 14. Like, I mean, I remember getting a, I don't even know what it's called, but it was like a $50, maybe a CD or something like that. And I got it when I was 16. And I remember my uncle saying, put this in the bank and in 50 years, it'll be worth like, I don't even know how much money, but it didn't seem like a lot. And, and I think I cashed it in the next month for $20 and went on with my life because I'm like, I'm not going to wait 50 years for this to turn.
Who wants to wait 10 to 15 years and just, you know, for a savings bond, whatever the case?
Yeah, I think it was a savings bond. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I want it now. Everything is fast food. I want it quickly, you know. And so I think that's why we're drawn to it, is because you can make it quickly, you know. It's positive.
Right.
It's something positive. You know, we're not out there in the street selling drugs and, you know, robbing people. We're taking control of the bank. We're taking our money back. We're doing something positive, and then we take those dollars and put them back into the community.
Yes. Right. Yeah. I saw this meme, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. You're good.
I was going to say, I saw this meme that said, live like a saint and make money like a drug dealer. And that was right.
Wow.
Right? Yeah,
absolutely. right. No, absolutely. Because, you know, I'm taking my money, I'm flipping my money and, you know, for this and for that and what have you, you selling this, but guess what? You know, you taking that dollar, you taking that $10, you putting it into a cryptocurrency project, and all of a sudden you see it skyrocket to $50,000. You're like, wow, now what can I do with
it?
Let's go create an LLC, right? Let's hire the neighborhood. Let's build houses for the homeless. You know, there's so many things as a veteran, you know, let me help the homeless veteran. Let me take this dollar that I've made now, and let me do something with it. Let me multiply it in ways that are going to harvest seeds down the road, right? Not just for right now. So, you know, this is something that I want to continue doing and spreading the wealth. I give a lot back to the community, because it's like, just as quick as it comes, it can go. And I can see myself on the other side of the road at any time. I could be homeless at any time. You know what I'm saying? I can always be in someone else's shoes, someone else's situation at any time. So, remaining humble, just as fast as you get $100 or whatever it is, you better remain humble, because that money can go just like that. So we have to keep that in mind as well.
I love that you have that balanced view and that you do give so much. I mean, you give a lot in terms of the information that you share. I mean, just hours and hours and hours of free information. And you give a lot back to your community, a lot back to your family. I would, if you're comfortable asking, like, what are some of the ways that your life and some of the people in your life have been impacted by your success with crypto?
Wow. I'll take my grandfather, Alonzo Patterson, as an example. He was, and I'll try to keep it. I know we're limited in time, so I'll try to keep. How much time we have? A couple minutes?
Yeah, we've got a couple minutes.
All right. So I'll try to keep it short. So anyway, you know, as an older, the older population, that, you know, let's say 70, 80s, they don't know too much about cryptocurrency. So as grandfather was teaching me about investing the traditional way, Primerica, you know, stocks and, you know, this and that, and you know, make sure you have a buffer, you know, in terms of, you know, savings and things of that nature. Put your money in savings and all this, you know, the traditional way. So when I came across, you know, crypto in 2020 and I was telling him about it, he was like, no, I'm going to keep my money right on over here. I'm going to keep it safe. And, you know, because guess what? If I lose it all, I can't start over like you can. All right, Grandpa. I said, but Grandpa, I can do the same thing the guys that putting your money in the stock market can do. Well, no, that's okay. So that next year I came back and I sold him a piece of paper that I showed him digitally online, some numbers. He said, whose social security number is that? I said, Grandpa, I said, that's some profit. From what? Those bitcoins? Those bitcoins you were talking about? I said, yeah, Grandpa. Oh, okay. You got to sit me down and show me this. You going to sit me down and show me how to do it. So, you know, last year I took about $1,500 for Grandpa, put it into one called Saitama, and it went from $1,500 to about, I think, $80,000 in, you know, a few months. Came back to him again. Grandpa, here you go. Here's your investment. I said, I put a little bit in there for you.
Oh, okay. That looks good. Okay. You got anything else?
So, you know, that's just an example of, you know, being able to, you know, and even teaching him and showing him how to do it. His eyes just open up.
Yeah.
You know, and taking the time to do that, because he's taught me so much over the years about savings and, you know, investing in dollar cost averaging and, you know, giving back to the community, you know, and empowering your neighbor, your next door neighbor, or the Boys and Girls Clubs or the churches, empowering them on how to do these things, not just financially, but giving back, or however you can do it. Go out, you know, shovel a driveway, whatever. There doesn't always have to be a monetary value on it. But in terms of cryptocurrency, you know, I'm doing classes and locally in Anchorage. And then I was able to buy my mom a house. She had been on welfare for 40 years. Never owned a home.
Wow.
I bought her a home before I got myself a home. I'm still renting. So you got all that money in the bank. I'm still renting. So I bought mom a house. Then I bought mama a car. I said, every man, if they have their sons, have the opportunity to do it, get your mama out. And God made a way. So I said, you know what? I'm about to give, my mama created me. She brought me into this world. She said she can bring me in and bring me out any moment in time. I said, let me make sure I get my mama a house. So, I bought mama a house for Christmas and bought her a car. And she's just overwhelmed. And like I said, she came off of public assistance after 40 years.
That is life-changing. Beautiful.
So those are just ways.
Yeah. Wow. It's so inspiring and encouraging and exciting to hear about how crypto has changed your life and the people in your world. And I hope that our listeners have gained a lot from this conversation today.
Absolutely.
I have a couple more questions. I'm not sure if we have time for it. But if you could answer this one really fast, do you think that people can get caught up in crypto as an addiction? Like, can it become like a gambling kind of thing?
How fast? 2 seconds, 3 seconds?
Absolutely. Like five.
Absolutely. Look, it is addicting. It is addicting. Sure. You know, fast money. You put it, like I said, the guy put in $70. He made $5.7 million in 186 days. That's addicting.
Yeah.
That truly is, when you make that kind of money quickly versus going to a job working 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week, getting a $560 paycheck, depending on your level where you're at. But, and then taxes, right? There, you guys still got to pay tax on crypto, but I'm just saying.
Okay.
You know, that we got 3 minutes. Okay. So that kind of money coming in quickly. Yes, that's addictive. Why? Be like I told you, I spend 16 to 17 hours, you know, on average, may not be every day, but on average, you know, researching, looking at, okay, how can I bring in, you know, this amount, dollar cost averaging? How can I bring in, how can I flip, you know, $1,500 or $15,000 into, you know, in a project and net, you know, $150,000 to $200,000. Like I'm thinking Bill Gates. I'm thinking Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk money. Why? Because I have big dreams. I have big goals.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's addicting to me because I have things I'm trying to do, you know, down the road. Let's build single moms a complex or a compound somewhere so they can live, whatever, a house, buy them some houses, buy them cars, lands, you know, education, start a school like LeBron James or what have you, you know, those kind of things. That's why I'm so empowered. I'm amped. I'm like, here I am. So yeah, absolutely. It's addicting.
Oh, I love it. I love that. Thank you so much, Joseph. And I, you know, for all the questions that I still want to answer, mm-hmm. I'm going to hold off on them. And right now, I'll just share that you are going to actually be here locally in Juneau next week. doing a workshop on cryptocurrency. Yeah. So I'll hold my questions until then. And listeners, like, if you are interested in coming out and meeting Joseph and hearing more about cryptocurrency and all the things that he has to share, it's going to be next Wednesday, the 16th. Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And so I think the time is 7 o'clock, 7 to 10. It's going to be at the Travel Lodge Banquet Room. And we do have a link for Eventbrite. It's a free workshop, because this is part of you giving back as you do as a philanthropist and sharing so much of yourself. You're giving that to our community. And so I'm very appreciative of that, and just want to invite our listeners to come out and to look for that Eventbrite link on the BAA Facebook page. And you can also search for it on Eventbrite. And so we'll just need you to register for it so that we have a good idea of how many people to expect. Is there anything else that you want to share, Joseph, that we should know before or in preparation for next week?
Come out, get this education if you can. I will be live streaming as well. So just come on out. You can follow me on at Dre Entertain on Twitter and Instagram as well for updates and things of that nature, education. So at Dre, Dre Entertain. So Entertain. I think I spelled that wrong, but
yeah. That's okay. We have a smart audience. They'll figure out how to spell it.
Entertain. Sorry. I'm moving too fast. You put the pressure on me.
It's all good. Thank you so much, Joseph, for being with us today. And I can't wait for us to continue this conversation next week and for our listeners to come out and to meet you and to get this information and education. And I just appreciate you being here with us today.
Thank you, Christina Michelle. And Mr. Rhonda McBride, thank you so much.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us today. And we will be back again next Thursday at 3 p.m. for Culture Rich Conversations. Have a great afternoon.
You're listening to Culture Rich. Culture Rich.